Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach Global Ministry. We are here, beloved ones, doing the will of God and looking forward to have you blessed. I thank God that you are tuned in to listen to this broadcast because your life will never be the same. See, we are children of God who always need input. By input, I mean you need to receive the Word of God to be strong in your spirit, man. If you don't receive the Word of God, you don't search the Scriptures, you don't read the Bible, you are not going to be strong. That's why Peter says, as young babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. The milk, the Word of God is like milk. Sincere milk means it's pure, it's not defiled. When you drink of the Word of God, or drink the milk, or read the Word of God, it saturates your spirit. And the outcome is that you will grow. You will be aware of more things in the spirit. God will communicate with you at a higher level. And before you know it, you become a giant in the faith, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And before long, you'll be binding and loosing. You'll be there, putting the devil on the run, casting out devils and rebuking the enemy and building the kingdom of God. So we are here to build God's kingdom. I'm here as pastor, teacher, as you know. I've traveled around the world, preached all over Europe. I have a ministry in Africa, a big church there with 300 members anyway so far. I think they must have grown quite a bit now to maybe 350 or 400 members. I have a plot of land which I acquired from the city. It's 5 acres of land. We got a big church there, a Bible college, and a kindergarten school, and we have an orphanage running right now. Then we have a grade 1 to grade 7 school. It's a big, big, huge project. And you know what? God is on the throne working miracles every day, and without him we can do nothing. And I'm praying by God's grace and seeking his face that the same will be done here in the United States of America, where we're going to have the Word of Life Bible College and train men and women for the ministry. My main aim is to be on radio as I am right now, preaching on television and getting back on YouTube. I've been on YouTube for a stint, and I'm getting back again on YouTube. So those who are tuning in and listening to my broadcast, you can get me back on YouTube very shortly. Well, Dallas is pretty okay. The weather is fine. It's cool. We are seeing a great change in the weather, and very shortly we're going to be having rain coming down. But so far so good. It's nice weather, very, very nice weather. Well, if you have your tablet or whatever you're using to listen to me, I have there in the Word of God put up my message, what I'm going to preach today. It says, Bishop Lawrence Mwamba presents Resisting Failure, James 4:7-17. Resisting Failure. Now, you see, in our Christian faith and walk, the greatest thing that can put us aback is failure. Now, the failure, in a sense, is inevitable. You say, oh, Bishop Mwamba, but what do you mean inevitable? Now, what I mean is failure will always be there. Even the giants, those who invented great things in this earth, had to fail. His head of Edison, the one who invented electricity, he said he failed 999 times before he actually hit the code and got it right. When they asked, they said, why did it take you so long? You lost, you missed it so many times. You had so many mistakes. What happened? He told the people, he said, you know,
the 999 times were times that taught me the wrong way to do it. And it became a teaching. It became some part of his theory as to what you don't need to do to get electricity to run. You ask any successful person, they have failed. Failure is inevitable. Like I said, it teaches us great things. It teaches us where we missed it, how to improve on ourselves, how to come back with a better gusto. When I say gusto, come back with better power to overcome where we failed and to see success come into our lives. The Christian walk is the same, my friend. The devil is there always trying to make you fall. He will try his best to make you tumble. His work is to make Christians fail to reach the ultimate. No matter how you're running your faith walk, the main thing is we gotta reach the finish line. If we have done all we can do in the Christian faith and we never reach the finish line, we have no reward. For us to get a reward, we need to reach the finish line. Because the finish line actually guarantees us to see God. You know, when we are in this world and we traverse every day, walk in and out, go to work, come back, sleep, read, watch television, get involved in whatever is available, politics, get involved in the community, go around, go to watch the movies, go back and sleep. This life one day to come to an end. And when it comes to an end, have you ever asked yourself, what's going to be of me? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to be? Or where am I going to go? Are you going to go to planet Neptune or Pluto? Are you going to go to planet Mars? Where are you going to go? You know, there are people who say, well, I don't believe in heaven or hell. Oh, you don't? So where do you think you will go when you die? Where are you going to go? You know, even if there was, say, for example, for me, even if there was no Bible, this is what goes on in my spirit. I do believe there is a life after this life. I do believe very strongly, even if there was no Bible to tell me there is heaven, I do believe that there is a life after this life. The very power that brought me into this world. I never knew there was no this world. Did you? Maybe you did, but I never knew there was this world until I was born from my mother. When I got born, I got born as a baby, I burst into this world not knowing where I am. It took time for me when I was maybe age 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I start seeing things. Oh, this is my father. Oh, this is my mother. Oh, these are my brothers. Oh, this is my sister. Oh, this is our home. Ah, you see, I came to an awareness. And I'm telling you, the same way we kind of like wake up to know who is our family members, where we live, and that this is food and whatever, that's how it's going to be when the end comes. If you don't get ready and prepare, you'll be suddenly ushered in a certain presence whereby you're going to learn very quickly where you are. I know if this life cannot be just passing through meaningless and then it's kicked out of the way. Life is so evolving that it can never be meaningless. There is a purpose to this life. God has a plan for this life. He could not create such a world full of intricate things in this world, the life-giving things, the animals. Look at the elephants, the lions, the tigers, the zebras. Look at what God has done, the flowers, the roses. Look at the lilies. Look at what God has done. And look at the intelligence of human beings, the things they've done, now going to the planet Mars, surveying the outer world. With such intelligence, you think everything is going to be gone into trash? You must be kidding me. It can't happen that way. If there is such intelligence here on Earth and we do things so orderly, I'm telling you what, the God we deal with is a God of order. And one day, you'll be ushered in His presence and you have to answer for what you have done in this life. Well, today's message is resisting the enemy or resisting failure. I'll take my text message from James chapter number 4, reading from verse 7. The Bible reads, "So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you." This is from James chapter number 4, verse 7, reading from the Amplified. Verse number 8, "Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests, and purity, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery." Of your spiritual adultery is in closed brackets. Verse number 9. "As you draw near to God," closed brackets, open and close brackets is in brackets, "as you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty." This "over your disloyalty" is also in close brackets, open and close brackets, "over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. Humble yourselves," verse 10, "humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant." Verse number 11, "My brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but a censor and judge of it." Verse number 12, "One only is the lawgiver and judge, who is able to save and destroy, the one who has the absolute power of life and death. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor?" Verse number 13, come now, "you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money." Verse 14. "Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist." That's in close brackets, "a puff of smoke, a mist, that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air." Verse number 15, "You ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this or that thing. But as it is, you boast falsely in your presumption and your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, resisting failure. Like I said, you know, it's inevitable that we fail. You cannot live this life without failure. Failure will be there, but at least we can minimize how many times we fail. Now, in this sense of failing, I'm talking about we tumbling down and failing God and, you know, falling down because of sin and crumbling into the mire of this world and missing our target, holiness. The key factor here, James says, "So be
subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. So the key factor in us resisting failure in our spiritual walk is to be subject to God. What does it mean to be subject to God? To be subject, subject yourself under the control of God. You willingly place yourself under the mighty hand of God. You resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? You resist the devil by thinking on the right things. You know, the scripture says, I think it's the Apostle Paul who said, you as a child of God, think on these things, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are of good repute, things that are wholesome. Think on these things. Why did he say think on these things? Paul encouraged the Christians, I think, in Philippi, to think on these things, which are pure, holy, wholesome. Because the way you think is the way you'll be. If you think awkward stuff, that's how you're going to end up. You see, before you sin or fail, a thought is implanted in your mind. So if you can get rid of anything in your mind before it develops into a real seed planted in your heart, you have overcome. You have put the devil to the run. You see, when a thief is planning to steal, before he steals, the thought comes in his head that he must go steal. See what I'm saying? And he nurses that thought to go steal, then he starts to plan and strategize how he's going to steal. That's how it works. Anything we do in this life is strategized and planned in our mind. That's why you got to nurse your mind properly. You got to make sure the right things are going into your mind, because our mind is like a computer. It will develop the things that we put into it and bring them to reality. That's why God one time said, whatever this man thinketh to do, he will do if nothing is there to stop him. You remember at the Tower of Babel? I preached that message last week. He says, whatever man thinks to do, he will do. Our mind has a capacity to develop things and do things that we think about and cause them to come to pass. This is a natural law you can never avoid. What you think about is what you will become. The things you think about doing, they will come to pass. You initiate things by your thoughts. What you think about is what will happen. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, whatsoever a man thinketh, as he thinketh, the Bible said, so is he. You never go above the level of your thoughts. As you think it, so you'll be. You think you'll be a medical doctor, you will be. You think you'll be a president, you will be. You think you'll be a prime minister of a country, you will be. You think you'll be an engineer, you will be. Whatsoever thing you think about as becoming in your life, you will be. It will become. That's why you see the children of Israel, when they went into the land of Canaan, they were 12 spies sent by Moses to go spy out the land of Canaan before the children of Israel could go there and take possession of the land. When they went, their eyes started telling them stuff. They looked at these giants. They saw the Nephilims. They saw these big, mighty men of the renown, as the Bible says. And they looked at themselves. They said, man, we can't cope. We don't even march. We can't fight these people. Moses must be joking. He wants us to bring us here and be destroyed. But there were only two people who had a different vision. The things you see, the way you apply your vision, and important. Joshua and Caleb had the same eyes as the rest of them. They saw the same giants, but they had a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb looked at the greatness of God and said, you know what? These giants are there, but our God is so great that these giants be like bread to us. We can take the land. You see, they had a different perspective. They applied God to their problem. The spies said, when they got back to Moses,
nation of Israel. They said, you know, they told the people, this man wants us to deny. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes.
Who told them they were grasshoppers? From their mind, from their own thinking, in the sight of these giants. The giants did not tell them that, hey, you grasshoppers. No. They said themselves that we were giants. They said it. They made themselves grasshoppers. And because they said they were grasshoppers, and surely they were grasshoppers. And guess what? They didn't understand. You know what God said? God said, you people, you're wicked. You don't want to go in and possess the land. Everybody who bought falsehood and caused these people who are 40 years and above shall not see the land, except that your children, whom you say they will be destroyed, those are the ones who will possess the land. And guess what? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they perished. It was a new generation that carried the light of the Lord into Canaan. And the Lord said, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they had a different spirit, they will get into the land and possess it. So Joshua and Caleb are the ones who led the children of Israel to victory. The way you think about situations, how you think about things, will cause you to be an overcomer. You resist failure through your mind. The things you think about, when the devil brings things to say you are a nobody, you know, you are not going to do nothing. You know, you amount up to nothing. Tell him, look, I'm somebody. I'm a child of God filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I have a God on my side. I will overcome. And devil, you are under my feet. I'm the head only and not the tail. Devil, get to where you belong, under my feet. And I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get away from me. For God has given me a sound mind. See, you gotta speak forth the word of God. You gotta speak forth the positive things that God talks about you. And so, here James is saying, so be subject to God. How are you going to be subject to God? By quoting the scriptures, by living in the word of God, by attending church, by speaking the word of God all the time. Remember how even Joshua, even though God said you're going to overcome, you're going to take the land, God giving him instructions of how he was going to do it. He said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest see, thou may make thy way prosperous and have good success. You see, when you start to speak the word of God, the word gets embedded in your spirit, man. When you talk, you see, when you say, God told Joshua, thou shalt meditate in the word of God. This book of the law shall not pass away from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What is to meditate? To meditate is to matter, meaning, I think matter is the Hebrew word, Hebrew word for speak to yourself. You speak to yourself the word of God. Is meditate, means to matter. Speak to yourself the word of God. You see, meditate is not just simply sitting here. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his glory in Jesus Christ. That's the scripture, that God will supply your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But you just don't think about it. You speak like I'm doing. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God. Then you start thinking of God. Who will supply? He's going to give. You see, the way when you speak like that, you speak it from your mouth. Your ears hear it. And when your ears hear it, it calls and sinks into your spirit, man. Once that word sinks in your spirit, man, you got it. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The things you say bring faith. Don't speak being defeated. When you speak words of defeat, guess what is going to be in your spirit? Defeat. When you speak that I'm a failure, I don't think I'm going to amount to anything, nothing works for me, you are creating a vile environment. You are creating a repulsive environment that's going to cause things not to work for you.
So if you want to see the greatness of God and you're going to see the power of God, you got to be positive in what you say. You got to speak things that are going to build your life. You got to speak things that will make you avoid failure. And you avoid failure by the words you speak and how you think. No matter how bad the situation is, do not say, I think I'm going down the tubes. Those are wrong words to say. Don't say, I think I'm done. I'm going down the tubes. Who told you? Nobody told you you're going down the tubes. You're telling yourself, I'm going down the tubes. Nobody told you you are done. You're telling yourself, I'm done. Those are vocabularies you need to avoid. Don't say I'm done. Don't say I'm going down the tubes. Don't say my life is going to amount up to nothing. Don't say my life is just a web of uselessness. Don't say words like that. Speak positive like Joshua. Say, I'm well able to overcome the enemy. I'll go in and possess the land. In this, the United States of America, I'm going to have a business that's going to be successful. I'm going to be one of the billionaires like Warren Buffett, like Mark Zuckerberg. I'm going to do something. God is going to give me inspired ideas to do great things in the land that God has given me here in this, the United States of America. If Warren Buffett made it, I will make it. If Mark Zuckerberg made it, I will make it. If Barack Obama, the President of the United States, made it, I will make it. You have to be positive about life. You have to speak big things. You have to believe what you... You see, the more you speak big things to yourself, from the moment you start speaking it, you will not be believing it. But the more you speak it, it will mold you and you begin to believe that you are a billionaire and you're going to be a billionaire and you will be a billionaire. It will take time, but keep speaking it anyway. The children, can you imagine Joshua and Caleb? They were with these people who were going to perish in the wilderness for 40 years. They were with a group of failures. These people were condemned to perish by God because of their unbelief. What made them be different for these 40 years? Let me tell you what made them be different. They kept on speaking positively about God. They kept on praising God and saying, you know, God is going to take us through finally. They kept on saying God is bigger than the giants that we saw in the land. The vision that they had seen in the land never left them. The words that they had spoken before Moses when they told him that we are well able to go in and possess the land of Canaan never left them for 40 years. 40 years. You give up within a month. You're losing your faith because something hasn't come to pass. Over 6 months, you say, well, I don't think I'm going to buy a home. You hang up your boots and forget about it. No. Strap yourself up. Build yourself up. You need to build your credit. Start working on the credit. There are companies here that can make you invest your money. Put your money there, little amount that you have, and start building your credit. Your own money. You say, my own money? Yes. Put your own money there and start to build your credit. The devil is going to come and fight you. Even when you put your own money there, the devil is going to make sure you don't have money to keep paying on it so that you can build your credit. He's going to do a lot of things to confuse you and stop. The work of the devil is to stop you from succeeding. Keep on doing the right thing. You keep on fighting and speaking that I will make it. My credit will change. I'll have a nice car. I'll drive a good car. I'll live in a nice home. And my kids will be educated properly by the Lord. I will see success in my life. I will retire comfortably. I'll be successful even in my 80s and my 90s and my 100th birthday. Speak positive words because positive words will build your faith up. Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due season, He will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. Don't you ever think of yourself as a failure. Don't you ever speak negatively to yourself again. Maybe you might make a mistake when you begin. You say positive things and you speak negative things against yourself. Repent quickly and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I retrieve those words that I spoke. I'm not a failure, but I'm a success, and I'll make it in life. Devil, you are a liar. I am above only infinity. Speak these words. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Whatsoever I put my hands to do is blessed. I will prosper. I shall see the fruit of my body. I shall see the things that I labor for come to pass in my life. Dear one, you can avoid failure. I'm not saying that you never fail. You will one or two, three, four, five times. But listen, once you fail, come up again. Start afresh. Pick up yourself from where you fell, and you're going to succeed in this life. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off here in Dallas, Texas, and saying to you, I'm going to talk to you again tomorrow. Be ready to get my teaching. God bless you. We see you now. Be good and bye-bye.